coming up, choir. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you here in the house of the Lord. If you would, please stand. Let's turn to page 457. 457. To God be the glory. We'll sing all three verses. Sing with me.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. But good did His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done. Great things He hath taught us. Great things He hath done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done.
To God be the glory.
Amen. Amen. It's good to see you this morning. Good to see some folks still coming in, and we're grateful for God's mercy to us. I'm thankful to be together in a place where we can still worship God. Where the Bible is still important. And we can lift voices in praise together and honor Him and glorify Him with every fiber of our being. May God grant it today. Well, there's a lot going on, and we're thankful for busy schedules. Keeps me out of trouble that way. And be mindful, I was just thinking, Curtis will make any announcements in a little bit. Be mindful that in the morning, the ladies' brunch, I believe that's tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning's the ladies' brunch at the Crackle Barrel. They're laughing at me. That's not nice. But anyways, some of the fellas meet over there too, and they know, they kind of give us the table over in the corner where we can't cause too much trouble. So be mindful of that. If you're able to be there, it's a good time of fellowship and just a time together. Good bonding time with the men. I always enjoy that. Well, we're going to take a moment and welcome each other. Please, church family, get around and welcome our visitors this morning. We're thankful that God led them our way. Amen. Let's do that.
As you make your way back to your seats, let's also turn to 343. Page 343. O land of rest, for thee I sigh. Sing with me.
O land of rest, for thee I sigh. When will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home? We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home.
On the last.
I sought at once my Savior's side. No more my steps shall roam. With him I'll brave death's chilling tide and reach my heavenly home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
Please join us in standing once more, and let's turn to page 389. We'll sing the first and last.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Sing it out on that last verse.
He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Sing, oh, sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Amen. You may be seated.
Gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll go over a few announcements while we get ready to receive this morning's offering. The ladies of Metropolitan Baptist Church, we're going to have a ladies' retreat coming up, and Miss Marsha wants to meet with all of you ladies right down here in front immediately after the service. She told me to announce that and circle it and then announce it again. And so here's the second time around. All ladies immediately after the service right down here in front. Okay, now that's over with. And how did you say that, preacher? Quackle Barrel. So tomorrow we're going to ladies' brunch at the Quackle Barrel. And just same time, just different day. So just come enjoy that. We have a youth activity planned on the September 17th. We'll have more information about that later. Everything's right there on the paper, but more later on that. Step It Up Retreat is October 14th and 15th. And please see Miss Marcia for any of the payments that might be due yet. And Andrew Martin, we haven't posted it yet. We have his new address here. We went down to visit him yesterday, a very, very nice trip. And he would probably love to hear from somebody. Just drop him a postcard or anything of that nature. I don't know. Just something. He does not like being alone, and he's got a beautiful little apartment there. And we went and visited, and that's what he has is an apartment. I think he now has a chamber table and chairs, and it's a very modest little thing. It's quite nice. Send him a postcard or something. We have the ladies have a nursery schedule on the back. If you're in the nursery, please pick up the schedule and see if you fit in somewhere. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us today, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful Sunday school we had this morning, Lord. Lord, right now we're asking to be at the offering you're about to receive, Lord. Lord, as usual, and I know it sounds redundant, but this is what we really, really long for, Lord, is, Lord, be at the preacher. Lord, when he comes before us here in just a minute, Lord, remove him. Fill him with you, Lord. You give him the words you want him to say. Lord, please prepare our hearts to receive it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
She was down on her knees, she would never get free. Her accusers had stones in their hands. They turned to Jesus that day to see what he would say. The Lord just wrote in the sand. They all walked away when they heard him say, "Let the sin-free cast the first stone." With tears on her face, her sins were erased, and she stood in a moment of grace. The thief on the cross knew his life was lost. He must pay for the crimes of his past. He had done nothing right. He would sure lose this fight. His time was running out fast. So he took his last shot, said to Jesus, "Why not? Remember me when you reach heaven's gate." He right there forgave, his sins were erased, and he died in a moment of grace. A moment of grace, undeserved favor, unspeakable joy. My soul found an anchor, unmerited love and mercy that swept my soul away. He called my name, everything changed in a moment of grace. I've been counted out by the self-righteous crowd who would say you're not worthy of him. You've drifted so far, you're too stuck in sin's mire. You need a miracle that only God can give. Then Jesus came by, and with this reply, said, "I choose you, live for me today." Again he forgave, my sins were erased, and I stood in a moment of grace. A moment of grace, undeserved favor, unspeakable joy. My soul found an anchor, unmerited that swept my soul away. He called my name, everything changed in a moment of grace. Unmerited love and mercy that swept my soul away. He called my name, everything changed in a moment of grace.
Amen. Thank you very much, ladies. Amen. Thank God for His grace. Now, did He be pleased to deal with us by His amazing, amazing grace. We're looking in Hebrews chapter 12 today. Hebrews chapter 12. Could assign a title to today's message. I guess we would call it "Run the Race to the Finish." Run the race to the finish. May God be pleased and enable us to do that very thing. I'd ask you to stand with me in reverence to the good word of God. We're going to read those first three verses. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Again, that first word says, wherefore. What we read in these verses is based upon what had been written there in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning that great cloud of witnesses that testified to us, and we'll look more at that in a few moments. But we read here, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Father, once again we ask You, we plead with You to enter in and by Your Spirit work in our hearts and lives. Lord, we realize our inadequacies, certainly our frailties and weaknesses. And Father, I stand before this congregation realizing very clearly that I have nothing for them unless You'd be pleased by Your Holy Spirit to enter in. And Father, even today, take Your word, open it to our understanding. Deliver the message that we need in these days. Father, I'd ask You, oh Lord, for those who may be inside the walls of this facility today and yet are without Jesus. Father, please, in Jesus' name, I ask You to save them, draw them gloriously, beautifully, graciously to Yourself. And Lord, for every one of us that is saved, would You be pleased to take Your word, open it to our understanding, apply it to our hearts, exhort us, challenge us, reprove us where needed, and enable us, Father, to live for Your glory and for Your honor. We love You, Lord, and of course we confess that we love You because You first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Of course, we may be seated. Run the race to the finish. Wow. I could give you some various reasons physically, but I never was much of an accomplished athlete. Got a job early on when I was in early high school. Wasn't much time for sports at that point. But there was a time along the way that, when different cycles take place and jogging gets to be a thing from time and again, especially, I guess, as someone was saying the other day, at the new year when we make those resolutions and so forth. Well, there was a time I got into one of those jogging crazes, and I guess I was crazy for it, but I was running 3, 4, 5 miles a day, and even at one point I got involved in some of those 5K things that they do. To make a short story of a short running career even shorter, it was a dose of reality for me. Again, I was much younger than I am now. Don't ask how much younger, just younger, a lot younger. But it was a dose of reality for me to be running along in one of those 5Ks and you're doing your thing, and there's other folks all around you, and then as you're chunking along, you think you're doing all right, and some old guy, It wasn't that funny. Some old guy about my age now comes running right past you. Right, practically like I was standing still. And I thought I was doing everything I could. Well, experiencing that immediately made me want to quit. Thoughts like, what am I doing here? Would go through my mind. This is ridiculous. I've had enough. I'm going to the house. But for some reason, I continued and would finish. Certainly would finish nowhere near the front of the bunch. But fortunately, wasn't at the back of the bunch either. Well, our Hebrew writer today uses the illustration of running a race to teach us lessons about living for Christ, about living for Him, about living for our Savior, and the importance, now listen, and the importance of running all the way to the finish, to stay in the race all the way to the finish line. And we read in these verses, and if you will, I want to read verse 1 again. And this is one of those messages, sort of like last week, that we're going to deal with we're going to deal with a chunk of it this morning and leave the rest of the chunk till this evening. But we read in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run all the way to the finish line. Now, there are times in this race that we call the human race, if you will, or my race, your the race of life. Times in that race that we will encounter obstacles. We'll encounter barriers that show up along the way that we were not anticipating. Sometimes in this race of life, it feels like someone's moved the finish line. And it's way off farther than we thought it was when we entered the race. Those obstacles that complicate this life race that we're in may show up in a lot of different ways. More ways than we can really even name. It could take the form of sickness. Could take the form of sickness in the life of someone else that we love and care about. It could be some sort of financial problem that comes along. For Christians, certainly even a significant change in our spiritual life can put a hurdle along the way that truly complicates things for us. That's understandable. It's understandable. We realize, hopefully, at this point that things happen in life. Things take place that we were not expecting. But this morning, beloved, I want to encourage us all in how important it is. Beloved, how very important it is to stay in the race all the way to the finish. Far too many believers, far too many Christians, far too many church members are dropping out along the way. The race does get tough. The race can have disappointments. Can things happen that make us feel like we're being left behind? But we need to stay in a race all the way to the finish line. You know, this church, every church, but this church, speaking about us this morning, this church needs every one of us to stay engaged in what's going on. staying engaged so that we can see that this local body of believers that calls itself Metropolitan Baptist Church continues to be a lampstand, hey, the lampstand that God has ordained that we should be on this hill till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord that this church has a 93-year history. Not very many Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches stay faithful that long. They come and they go. But beloved, may God be pleased to keep us true to His book, true to His ways, till He's pleased to sound the trump. And we go to be with Him. Oh my. We need to stay in the race. This race isn't about the preacher. Huh? It's not about the pastor. It's not about any one of us as individuals. It's about seeing the glory of God declared. It's about seeing folks brought into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about seeing as many lives changed and impacted for God as He'd be pleased to allow us to be part of. And so we see here this morning a few things, and we'll continue in this evening. So many of the, here's just a little side note, you can be very thankful. So many of these messages, you know, that over the years you'll preach from this passage and that passage and maybe again along the way, and the message kind of grows. Many of these messages, I preach the whole thing at once. So you can be thankful we're going to get it in two chunks today. We see here in this passage the inescapable witness of God. The inescapable witness of God. Look at those words early in verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing, taking knowledge of, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Beloved, Paul's talking about how we are surrounded by a witness for the glory of God. It's sad that so many in this world are blinded and they can't see that witness. They can't see the hand of God. They can't see His working. But my prayer is that as they would see us, as they would see this church, that indeed they might see something of our God, see something of our Savior. We're surrounded by witnesses of the greatness and the glory of God. Hey, I'm thankful I serve a great God today. Amen. A great God. A glorious God. And He's given us a multitude of witnesses in our lives. Those words, a great cloud. We can picture that. A great cloud. You know, you look up into the atmosphere and you'll see one of those big old billowing clouds. They just seem to fill the sky. It's like this word here, this testimony to us. You know, we have the witness of the very surroundings in which we live. It's sad that so many don't see the hand of God, even in this creation that we live in. In Romans chapter 1, reading just a couple verses there. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. He says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, notice, are clearly seen. How can you observe this universe, the complexity of this world in which we live, and not come away convinced that there had to be a designer for this universe? Oh, the very creation testifies of this great God that we serve. There's the witness of our surroundings. There's surely the witness of the Scriptures themselves. The Bible takes for granted the greatness of God. And indeed, yes, does declare that greatness. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, listen to this. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. Listen, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, in many ways, he says, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. We turn to the pages of the Old Testament and we hear the words. We hear how God has been pleased to reveal Himself through the prophets. But it didn't stop there. It goes on. The Hebrew writer goes on and he says, hath in these last days spoken. He's speaking, folks. He's spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Scriptures declare this witness. But then, of course, there's also the witness of the saints. Hebrews chapter 11 is this tremendous cloud of witnesses to us. As Hebrews 11, it just one after another speaks of those ones who lived for God by faith, all the way back to faithful Abel, Enoch, Abraham, of course Noah, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the parents of Moses, Moses himself, and on through that chapter. This great cloud of witnesses to us. I'm grateful that God has been pleased to record their witness through, again, the Scriptures. Listen to this from 1 Corinthians. This is tremendous. So thankful for this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Paul writes there, and he says, now all these things happen unto them. Speaking of all those Old Testament saints, all those ones that have gone on before us that are a witness to us today, the witness of the saints. Now, all these things happen unto them for ensamples, examples for us. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Beloved, God has been pleased to record those events, those situations, those things that took place in the Old Testament saints' lives so that you and I have their witness today. We can learn from them. Isn't it better to learn from those that have gone before's mistakes so that we might avoid making the same mistakes? How many times have you said to one of your children, don't make the mistake I did? Sure. And I'm grateful that we have the witness of the surroundings, this creation in which we live. We have the witness of Scripture. We have the witness of saints that have gone on before us. What a tremendous witness we have. But then secondly, today we also see as Paul deals here in verse 1, this essential. And I use the word essential. This is a must, beloved. The essential purging for God. For God. Still in verse 1, we're compassed about with this so great a cloud of witnesses. Or because of that, let us. Who's that? You and I, beloved. You and I. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let's run the race that is set before us. Oh my. We see God's witness to us is so overwhelming that it leaves us with one conclusion. We must, now listen, we must do everything and anything necessary to enable us to live our lives. I was going to say just live our lives for God, but this is written to believers. And I'm thankful it's written for you and I, that we not only can live our lives for God, but we can live our lives better for Him. I want to live, hey, I don't know if better is the right word, but I want to live today for Christ greater way than I did yesterday. I want to do better for Him today than I did yesterday. And that takes a continual working in our lives. We need to, as we read here, we need to get rid of everything that would hinder our service for Christ. Get rid of everything that would hinder our service for Christ. Now stick with me here. Any habit, any practice that brings a shadow upon our walk with God should go. Anything that keeps us from having the absolute best testimony possible for the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be dealt with. Needs to be removed. We need to replace those things with better things. The book of Hebrews here is all about what's better. We're not going to go into all that, but let me just say this. Because of Jesus, listen, because of Jesus, my life's better. And it's going to get better all the way to glory. And glory's going to be the best. And get rid of everything. Need to lay aside the weights. Lay aside the weight. Let us lay aside, it says, every weight. Every weight. You know, no runner. We just got finished with the Olympics here. No runner in his right mind would wear a backpack to run the 100-yard dash. Or what do they call 100 meters now or whatever it is. No runner in his right mind would wear a backpack full of rocks in a race. He just wouldn't do it. You won't see an Olympic runner coming up the starting line with a suitcase in both hands. Huh? He probably doesn't even carry his suitcase to the hotel. You'd say he's foolish. He's crazy if he tries to run with all that, what? Extra weight. Yeah. He's handicapping himself. But then I've got to ask myself the question, in this race, hey, this race for Christ, and just a little preview for later. You and I aren't running against each other in this race. We're not opponents in this race. My opponent is, hey, more than anything else, my opponent, my biggest opponent is me. I just want to run the race the best I can for Jesus. What weights, beloved, are we carrying that slow us down spiritually? Not really the issue. What weights am I holding on to in my life that are holding me, slowing me down spiritually for the Lord Jesus Christ? What are we allowing in our lives, and many times allowing to remain in our lives, that are a spiritual hindrance to us? Well, I'm not going to deal with a whole lot of specifics here because I'd leave something out. But we're going to do with some generalities. How about bad habits? Bad habits can hinder our walk with Christ. Getting rid of those things, those bad habits, would free us to serve the Lord in liberty. Stick with me. Now, again, I'm not going to list anything. I know what the things are in my life. I know what my bad habits are. Marcia's in children's church, so she's not out there saying amen. She knows what they are too, huh? Yeah. I know what my issues are, my bad habits are, and you know what yours are. You know those things that you allow to carry on in your life that you'd be better off without. Stick with me in this. Things, and again, I use that word things. That's a bad word to use when you're trying to preach, but so be it. things that we really don't have any reason to hold on to. And we just should get rid of. Secondly, told you I wasn't going to spend a whole lot of time there. Secondly, now listen to this. How about bad companions can hinder our walk with Christ?
Yes.
Bad companions can hinder our walk with Christ.
Yes, that's right.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says this. I have to explain it. It says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now that word communications has to do with companionships. Those that we communicate with in our life. Companionships. Are the friends we hang out with helping or hindering our spiritual life? Now, preacher, now you've gone to meddling, preacher. Bad companions can be a hindrance or a help. Now, before we even go on, I want to hang around folks. Is that right? That's a bad way to say it. No English teachers, hopefully. I want to be around people that challenge me spiritually. I want to be around folks that are going to be, that help me to live more like Jesus, not drag me the other way. Does that make sense? I want to be around folks that encourage me and edify me in Christ. Now again, thinking about that. Are the friends we hang out helping us or hindering us? It's a good question. It's an important question for us to ask. Do they have a biblical... Now listen, here's where the big crux of it is. Again, we may have lots of acquaintances. We work with folks. We interact with folks every day. But the folks that we invest our lives with, what is their philosophy of life? Huh? Do they have a biblical philosophy of life or an unbiblical philosophy of life? Are they going to encourage me in the things of God and the right things? Or are they going to... Now listen to me. You're going to argue with me about this, but it's a fact. No matter how gentle the stream is, it'll wear away on the rocks. And you may think, hey, I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the Word of God. But I'm telling you, the current will affect you that you put yourself in. Evil communications, corrupt good manners. Bad companions can hinder our walk with Christ. What do we do? You know what? When I decided along the way as a young Christian to live for God, guess what? When I decided that I wasn't going to compromise things in my life, guess what happened? A lot of those bad companions didn't want anything to do with me anymore. Huh? When they came to the house and there wasn't none of that... going on anymore. They didn't want to come over to Jim and Marcia's house anymore. We still cared about them. We still liked... But it just wasn't the same. Huh? You take a stand for Christ, it kind of works out on its own. Well, a third thing, and this is the toughy one for us. Good things, listen, good things that we allow to hinder our walk with Christ.
Yes, come on.
Studying this morning, and God says, hey, he didn't speak to me audibly, but man, it was just as real. What about the good things that can get in the way?
Yes.
Stick with me. Anything in life that we allow to crowd out or hinder our walk with Christ needs to be dealt with. Even the good things. Hobbies are great. Hobbies are great, but any hobby that takes me away from church needs the cross applied to it. Huh? It was great. When I pastored in Pennsylvania, I'm going to get in trouble. I know it. As soon as I started down this road, I knew I was in trouble. Deer season, you weren't allowed to hunt on Sunday. There was no conflict. It's not a law in Texas. Man, I love getting out there. Somebody's going to say, you mean you used to shoot bay of meat? Yeah, and he sure tasted good too. No, I'm just saying, folks, even good things can get in the way. Hey, if it's between me and the Lord and it's keeping me away from the things of the Lord, what is it? It's closer to God than I am because it's between me and God. I've allowed it to become what? My God. I told you I was going to be in trouble. Question. What weights in our lives are hindering our race with Christ, for Christ? What weights in our lives are hindering our race for Christ? We need to answer that question. But then as well, we see that we're to lay aside every sin. Lay aside every sin. Cast, the word lay aside is the idea to cast it away. Cast it. It's a kind of a violent word. I should look at that sin the way God looks at it and cast it away. Jettison, get it out of there. Notice, we lay aside those weights and those sins. Those sins. Oh my. Along with those extra weights that we try to drag along, we can tolerate, excuse, rationalize sin. Sin. Sin that needs to be thrown aside. So that we can live for Christ without those hindrances. We need to get in agreement with God about sin. God hates sin. I know in some places it's not popular to use that word. Talk about sin, you're going to make people feel bad. I hope you feel bad. I hope you feel bad enough to want to get rid of sin in your life. I'm talking to believers here. And if you're not saved, I'm praying that you'd get so sick of your sin you'd want Jesus to wash you, make you clean from all sin. And to cast away our sin, it should be obvious to us. It's obvious concerning those outward sins. You know, isn't that when you first get saved, those outward things, the obvious things, they start dropping off. But then God starts dealing with the hard sins, the sins of the heart. Huh? God starts dealing with that pride. He'll start dealing with our tongue. Yeah? He'll start dealing with our tongue too, folks. My vocabulary changed when I got saved. Both the things that we say and things we shouldn't ought to say. Wagging tongues in many churches are a problem. Pride, tongue, so many other sins of the heart, vanity. Those are tough because it gets in real close, doesn't it? Those and a myriad of other sins are keeping, will keep us from being able to serve God the way we could, the way we should, the way we should. My. We need to understand the power of sin. You understand, as believers, we should understand that. But we need to understand sin's strength. Notice the words that says, the sin that doth so easily beset us. I was trying to check that all, check those words out there, and that where it says which so easily doth beset us. It's all one word in the language of the New Testament, the Greek language, and it has the idea to be encircled. It has the idea to say it this way, where. If there was a person standing here and about 10 others came and stood around him and took control. Get the picture. Sin that encompasses us and takes control. Now, I know I say this quite often, but we in our sophisticated society, we like to talk about those... I'm trying to think of a word that I won't get in too much. Addictions. All of our addictions. That's just a nice way of saying bondage.
Yes, sir.
And spirit, what's the Bible? How's the Bible describe bondages? Sin takes bondage in our life. Takes us into bondage. Sin becomes our taskmaster, our slave master. Sin will enter into our life and encompass us and control us.
Yes, sir.
And our passage says, and the sin that doth so easily beset us, what are we to do? Cast it aside. Get rid of it. Deal with it. Sin can so easily surround us and take us captive. I don't know if we truly understand its power. We practice a great deal of self-preservation, don't we? We like to protect ourselves, rationalize those things. But sin has great power over us, has that ability. You know, listen to this. I'm not going to say much. Sin brings the temptation before us to cast that fantasizing gaze. That unseemly picture that seems to just pop up on the computer screen. Just asking us to click on it. Huh? That first drink. Or experimentation with some drug. And before we realize it, we're surrounded by it and under its control. Sin has unbelievable power, beloved. We need to take heed to the Bible's exhortation. It's what the Bible tells me. What's the Bible tell me to do about sin? Now again, beloved believers, we're to cast it away. Cast it away. Reject it. Come to hate our sin. You know, it's easy to talk about how Jesus died for sin. But beloved, the fact is Jesus died for my sin. And beyond that, He died for my sins specifically. He died for your sins specifically. But He didn't die for your sins so you could continue to live in them. He died to save you from sin, to deliver you from its power, that you could live in victory. You could live as an overcomer. But it won't happen until we're willing to cast it aside. Confess it and forsake it. Oh my. Biblical example. We have several biblical examples, but one came to mind yesterday as I was studying and thinking. Marcia and I in our devotions had been reading in 2 Chronicles about Solomon. What an amazing man. What an amazing man. Brilliant. By the testimony of Scripture, probably the, if not the wisest, one of the wisest men to ever walk this planet. Amazingly wise. But on the other hand, so foolish. So very, very foolish. Ensnared himself in, oh my, hundreds, literally, of marriages. You say, how could a man be married to hundreds of women and all those concubines? Well, we have to understand, first of all, it was his own lust. But then on top of that, remember early on, one of his first marriages was to the daughter of Pharaoh. What's that about? Why would he marry Pharaoh's daughter? Well, it was the common practice of the day to enter into those marriages, either you, the king, or one of your daughters or your sons, to cement a treaty with this other nation. By Solomon marrying Pharaoh's daughter, he was ensuring that Pharaoh's not going to attack Jerusalem because his daughter lives here. So Solomon used that strategy and entered into literally hundreds. But along with that, as he brought all those pagan women into his life, they drew him away into their false worship. And as Marcia and I were reading this week, and as Solomon dies and goes to sleep with his fathers, as it says, God pronounces that he's going to carry out what he had told Solomon. Because of Solomon's sin, because Solomon was not willing to cast those things aside and use the God-given wisdom that was his, God judged Israel. Now his son wasn't no jewel. Rehoboam wasn't no prize. But the judgment was already on Israel before Rehoboam was crowned. God says, I'm going to snatch away from Solomon's son the 10 tribes. Why? Because of that sin of bringing all that false worship. Now you say, why do you make that point? My decisions, my refusals to deal with sin in my life doesn't just impact me. Impact my family. And in Solomon's case, impacted an entire nation. His court was, as it's described, was the richest, most beautiful court, royal court in the world. And his refusal to lay aside those weights and sins that had beset him brought God's wrath, got God's judgment. Again, using that example, beloved, is a challenge to our hearts. Challenge to our understanding of how important it is to obey God's instruction to us. Now listen to me, and we'll close. Husband, wife, dad, mom. What might seem to be a small thing, a minor indiscretion, could destroy your marriage, could destroy your home, and have impact for generations in your family. Young people, you're not immune to this, teenagers. Do not believe, now listen, do not believe that so-called friend that tells you a little experimentation with drugs or alcohol or even sex isn't going to harm you. It can destroy your life. It can destroy your life. An attached change, listen, it can attach chains to you that be very hard to break. Very hard to break. And so often, as many of us can testify, it's very, very, very hard to get back ground that we've lost. Believer, please. Christian, please listen. Church member, please. Allow the Word of God to deal with us today. Please obey Him in laying aside every weight, every sin that doth beset us. And if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I plead with you. I plead with you. Sin is your master. And the only victory over sin is Jesus Christ. And He is our victor. He will deliver you from your bondage to sin. Let's stand together. Thank you for your patience. Trust God spoken what He wanted to say to us this morning. Please obey the Lord. Whatever He's saying to you to do, please obey Him. These altars are open. Please obey the Lord. Don't do what I tell you to do. God's speaking to your heart today. Obey Him. Listen to Him. Brother John, you have a song for us.
Page 155.
As we sing, please be obedient to the Lord. Oh, God, help us.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in Thy presence humbly I bow. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is Thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's a challenging message, isn't it? At least for me. Maybe am I the only one that has issues I need to deal with? Lord, help us. Be honest. When we get honest with God is where He can work with us. And He can do for us. We serve a great God, as we said earlier, but we also serve a God who is a powerful God. He's a mighty God. And He, beloved, is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Believe Him, and He'll do for us. Amen. Amen. Brother John, come.
Garden. Also, as a reminder, the ladies have a quick meeting down front right after we're done. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
Dismissed.